On the Grindhouse Girls podcast, we discuss all things spoopy, scary, and strange. Some content may be disturbing or graphic in nature. Listener discretion is advised. Hello. And welcome to Sidetracks, the unscripted and unruly series where we share with you what we've been watching and whether it's worth your time.
And on this very special episode, we'll be covering our picks for the upcoming 96 Oscars. This is the Grindhouse Girls Podcast.
This is Katie.
And hi there, I'm Brittany.
And it's the Oscars episode! Woo! Yay! Amazing!
Yes!
Are you excited?
I am. So I had that oh fuck moment because on Saturday, I thought the Screen Actor Guild were live on Netflix on Sunday. And then I'm scrolling Instagram Saturday night and it's like Pedro Pascal just won. And I was like, shit. So I turned it on. So I missed most of the TV categories, but I was able to catch the film categories at the Screen Actors Guild. So that was a lot of fun.
Did any of them surprise you, like in preparation for the Oscars?
So with actors, not really. So I knew what best supporting actress and best supporting actor, definitely. And best actress and best actor, I knew it was going to be one of the two. But we were screaming at the TV because Taylor joined me in the latter half of it. And we were right in every category. So nothing too crazy. Now, it is funny because Fran Drescher is like the president of the Screen Actors Guild. And she was talking about the writer's strike. Now, I love Fran Drescher. Like, you know, I grew up on The Nanny. But she was like, what did she say exactly? Because Taylor was like, what the fuck? But she's like, we deserve better. Because we are better. That is the most actor thing you could ever hear anyone ever say. And Taylor is like, you actors think they're better than everyone else. I was like, I mean, honestly, yeah, just a little bit.
You're kind of told you have to think that way so that you have confidence when you go into an audition. So that's funny.
It is funny.
I love Fran Drescher, though. I thought she was kind of the perfect president during the strike. She was just like, well, here we are, and they're not here once again. And I was just like, hell yeah. Nobody stands up the Nanny.
Yes, and I love her, too. And she looks fantastic. She's wearing this gorgeous, like, deep red dress. She just looks beautiful. I did think it was interesting, though, because I guess Idris Elba, in the first half of the ceremony, which I missed, he was like, yeah, you know, I guess this is Netflix. You can say how many cuss words you want. So there was a lot of cuss words. Like, people letting the fucks fly and everything. Like, there was a lot of cuss words. Yeah.
And I gotta go rewatch those.
This is my thing. Like, I don't mind cussing, and I love the F word. As you all know who listen to the podcast, I say it way too much. But I did feel like, I was like, this is an award ceremony. Like, you know, like, I don't mind, like, the occasional cuss word.
Sacred ground.
I was just like, you guys are wearing, like, $1,000 dresses, and you're just saying fuck every other word. You're like, okay. But, I mean, it was still fun. It wasn't the best award ceremony I've seen, but it was cool, and there were some good acceptance speeches. Like, you know, Stephen Young won for Beef, and he had a great acceptance speech. And, yeah, aww. there was some good
love
speeches.
Him.
I do, too.
I love that Beef has gotten a lot of awards. I need to finish Beef. I got, like, 3 episodes in and was loving it and, like, kind of just got busy. Because I always do that with miniseries. I need to just go back and finish it because I was like, it genuinely was very entertaining.
Stephen Young does a cover of Drive and Beef by Incubus, and I have that on my Apple Music, and I probably listen to that cover at least once a day. I had no idea that he had a beautiful singing voice on top of just, like, being an awesome person and a great actor.
A beautiful person.
Yeah, just a beautiful person. We love, we're Stephen Young stans here, so.
Well, I guess, where do we want to, I guess we should start on the Oscar talk officially. We should,
unless, so I feel like where last do we wanna start? Year, they started at Best Supporting Actor, so let's start at Best Supporting Actor.
Okay, so for Best Actor in a Supporting Role, we have Sterling K. Brown for American Fiction, Robert De Niro, Killers of the Flower Moon, Robert Downey Jr., Oppenheimer, Ryan Gosling for Barbie, and Mark Ruffalo for Poor Things. What do you think?
I think, without a doubt, it's going to be Robert Downey Jr. in Oppenheimer.
Yeah. That'd be a boring one. I'm sorry, Robert Downey Jr. He did a great job. I want Ryan Gosling to win, honestly.
Ryan Gosling, I feel like he is so charismatic as Ken in Barbie. Like, he is phenomenal. I do have to say, so I did watch American Fiction just yesterday. Sterling K. Brown
is... I have not gotten to watch it yet.
He is great in that movie.
He's
There's
a
no
great
doubt.
Actor.
Now,
he's a great actor.
Even Mark Ruffalo, he plays like a true cad, like in Poor Things, and it's a very comedic, like slapstick role. Like, it's just like he's so like crazy and kind of out there in Poor Things. I think this is a good category. Now, Robert De Niro, you know, we know Robert De Niro's a great actor.
Already won Oscars, right?
Yeah.
Hasn't he already won Oscars?
So he won for The Godfather Part 2 and Raging Bull, so he has won
before. Yeah, we're done.
Yeah.
Also, he just played a bad guy the whole time.
I think the reason, so outside of Robert Downey Jr., and that's, you know, he won Screen Actors Guild for Oppenheimer, too. And once again, he gets up there on the stage. I was like, he's literally fucking Tony Stark. Like, oh my God. Like, Robert Downey Jr. and Tony Stark are one and the same at this point.
But yeah, I don't necessarily think Ryan Gosling's going to win. I think Robert Downey Jr. winning is fine.
Yeah.
I think it's kind of boring, frankly, with all the other category, other people. But I think the only person I'd be annoyed with winning is Robert De Niro, quite frankly.
Yeah.
In my opinion.
So
that's my kind of thing with this year is, like, will I be annoyed if this person or movie wins this category? That's my big thing.
No, I did want to point out, so Robert Downey Jr. did win the Golden Globes for Best Supporting Actor. He won the Critics' Choice for Best Supporting Actor. He won Screen Actors Guild for Best Supporting Actor. So all the major televised award shows, he was there winning, which means it's more acceptable for people to see his speeches and stuff. And if we take out, like, the subjectiveness of films and our personal favorite movies versus maybe what critics like or general audiences like, what we know is that it's almost like a fantasy football thing, that the more visible people are, the more likely they're going to win.
Well, but also the thing with him is he has been working in the industry for a very long time. In support of Robert Downey Jr., he's been in the industry for a very long time. He had a very public struggle with sobriety that he has overcome. And then he became Iron Man. And he did, like we said, Tropic Thunder, which to our generation of, like, people, I think was one of the most well-received, absurdist comedies in the entire world. He's done pretty much it all. And so I think he really deserves it for his achievements. And I think he did a really good job in that movie. I just think I hated his character so much that I just, like, I hate when villains win. So I didn't really enjoy watching him. And he was the person that looked the least like his character. He just kind of looked like himself the whole time. And I didn't ever lose myself in the reality in that movie with him, especially.
Yeah.
Like, he kind of, which isn't his fault necessarily. It's more of makeup or whatever. Or maybe he just naturally looked like that person in real life. But it was, like, a little bit more like, I was like, okay, so that's just Robert Downey Jr. But I like him as an actor. And if he wins, I'm okay with it. And he probably will win. But I would be annoyed if Robert De Niro won, because he's won supporting and best actor before.
I don't think Robert De Niro's gonna win. This is a great year for acting. I'm just gonna go ahead and say that already. But I really, really do think Robert Downey Jr. probably has no real competition. But if he did, it would probably be, you know, I couldn't even say for sure. Maybe Ryan Gosling, but Mark, I mean, Sterling K. Brown and Mark Ruffalo are really, really good. I hate to say it, I think Robert De Niro, to me, out of the five, would be the least likely, just in my personal opinion, to win.
I think Sterling K. Brown could possibly win because he has won a lot of, like, television awards for his work on television. So he is an awards darling.
That sounds
demeaning to call someone a darling, but like he has gotten a lot of awards and he's a really good actor.
He is phenomenal. I did want to say I thought after every award, since we're doing 10, I think Katie and me may end up doing 11 or 12, but we technically are supposed to be doing 10. After each award, we'll just give you a quick best picture. So let's go ahead and start off the bat with Oppenheimer. Oppenheimer is nominated for 13 Academy Awards this year. It's the most nominated film this year. Currently, it has a 93% tomato meter and a 91% audience score on Rotten Tomatoes.
Wah, wah.
Okay, but I guess next this should be Best Supporting Actress. And the nominees are Devine Joy Randolph as Mary Lamb in The Holdovers, Jodie Foster as Bonnie Stoll in Naiad, America Ferreira as Gloria in Barbie, Danielle Brooks as Sophia in The Color Purple, and Emily Blunt as Catherine Kitty Oppenheimer in Oppenheimer.
I want Devine Joy Randolph to win.
I think the same as with Robert Downey Jr., there's not a doubt in my mind that she's going to be our winner this year.
Yeah. She was phenomenal. I did get to watch The Holdovers, and she was fantastic. I would not be mad at America Ferreira winning. And I love Emily Blunt. I just honestly, it was another one where I was just kind of like, she was barely, like, she was in the movie, but she wasn't in the movie as much as, like, I would have hoped she would have been in it. So, I don't know. She did a really good job. I just kind of would rather have, I don't think it was a dynamic role, but I think Emily Blunt's a fantastic actress.
I would agree with that. I don't really feel like Kitty gets the time to shine in Oppenheimer until the interrogation scene, which is like the last 30 minutes.
And she's really good in that. Yeah.
Like, other than that, it just, although it did not feel like, I didn't feel like Oppenheimer was really strong in the female category, because even with Florence Pugh, but that's a whole, that's she's a whole other discussion. But yeah.
Yeah, we already talked about that.
Devine, though, has at this point, so I did write down, so she did win for Golden Globes, she won Critics' Choice, and she won Screen Actors Guild. So once again, she won all three major televised awards categories. Yeah.
I do want to give a special shout out to Danielle Brooks, though, because she was tasty in Orange is the New Black.
Yes.
But she also, I believe, did The Color Purple on Broadway, I want to say. Or she's been on stage before. And she actually sings in the movie. And I always think that that's pretty fucking amazing when you're singing. But I'm kind of sad that that's like one of the only categories The Color Purple is nominated for. But I haven't got, it just came on streaming, so I haven't gotten a chance to watch it yet. To be fair, the original movie had a lot of awards.
Yeah.
And it's a book that was adapted into a movie, that was adapted into a musical, that was then adapted into a movie. So, like, I get it. It's you know,
I feel like the book is a Pulitzer Prize. So it's also like, we got a Pulitzer Prize.
I do think you're right.
We got a Pulitzer Prize book adapted into a multiple nominated original film. And then you got the Broadway musical, and like you said, this leg adaptation.
Yeah.
But yeah, it does kind of still point the finger at the problem that we do not see a lot of Black female award nominees, or not as many as we should, which it does make it at least feel special that we do have Devine and Danielle in the same category.
Yes. And America Ferreira, who's a person of color as well.
That's like, true.
I actually, this category is actually very fleshed out. Jodie Foster, I'd have not a lot of interest to see Naiad, to be honest.
Yeah.
I don't know why. I'm just like, I'm sure it's a lovely movie, but not one that has been like, I want to watch that one. But also, Jodie Foster's already won an Oscar.
Yeah.
And been nominated a ton. And I love her. She's a great actress. But yeah, I hope it's Devine. I really like her. She was like one of the better parts of The Idol, too. She also has a beautiful singing voice, by the way.
Feel like our supporting actor and actress is kind of like Ki-hae Kwon last year. It's like they just have been still in every category. Like, it would be a great shock if anyone else took home these two awards, honestly.
I would be surprised. But, you know, I wouldn't be upset if America got it.
She was good.
I love America Ferrera, and I think she's great. Okay. So it would be nice to see her.
Yes. And but, so going into Nesbitt's picture nominee that we have. So we do have Poor Things. It did win the Golden Lion, which is the highest prize given to a film at the Venice Film Festival where it premiered. And it is our second most nominated movie this year with 11 nominations.
And it's directed by Yorgos Lanthimos.
That's right. And it's
who's also already won... Has he won director or just best film?
I can't remember, to be honest, with Venice. I know it won the Golden Lion. I can't remember if he won best director or not. That seems like it.
Oh, I meant at the Oscars for The Favorite. No,
I think he may have been nominated for The Favorite. He has not won an Oscar yet.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, for best actor in a leading role, we've got Bradley Cooper for Maestro, who played Leonard Bernstein. Coleman Domingo as Rustin in Rustin. Paul Giamatti as, I didn't write the character's name down, but he is the cranky teacher in The Holdovers.
Paul Hummin.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Cillian Murphy as Oppenheimer in Oppenheimer. And Jeffrey Wright as, what is Jeffrey Wright's character's name in American Fiction?
Thelonious Monk Ellison. So they call him Monk, but his real name is Thelonious. Thelonious Monk Ellison in American Fiction.
In American Fiction. If Bradley Cooper wins, I'll be mad. I didn't like that movie. I didn't think he did a good job directing, and I sure as hell don't think. I think maybe he did a good job impersonating Leonard Bernstein, but, I really prefer certain people to win. I think Cillian's probably gonna win. I love Cillian Murphy. Love him. He's fantastic. Love him to death. Wasn't blown away by Oppenheimer. I've already talked about that. However, I'm okay. I think him winning is perfectly reasonable. I would love for Coleman Domingo or Jeffrey Wright to win because I just have loved their careers for a while. But Paul Giamatti has been nominated many times and never won. And I don't know.
Okay. So I do have to say Jeffrey Wright has one of the best speaking voices I've heard, like, ever. Like, Jeffrey Wright's voice is just absolutely beautiful, okay?
He's fantastic.
With this being said, I think this is definitely going to be either Killian's year or Paul Giamatti's year. It is very, very hard. So I do want to say that Killian did win Screen Actors Guild for Oppenheimer. So technically, that does put him a little bit ahead, probably, right now. But where it gets difficult is, so if you see Oppenheimer, like, so Killian is phenomenal. And that's the thing, is like, we really didn't get to see him be like a leading man until this movie, like in a drama at least. And so watching him, like, take center stage, I feel like there's something, like, you really can't take your eyes off of him. But the thing about Paul Giamatti is that his performance is so lived in. I feel like I could see him living in that body of that character for years. Like, he felt like a real person to me. Like, not saying that Killian didn't. It's just, like, two very different roles.
But I think also Killian did a lot of, like, I think Killian did a lot of transformation to become Oppenheimer.
Yeah.
And I think Paul Giamatti, he's not a grumpy man. He seems like a lovely person, but I think he lived in that character, and I think it seemed very natural that he embodied that character. Also, like, that movie was just pleasant to watch.
Yeah.
and that character had a really dynamic shift. Whereas Oppenheimer may change his mind about his role in nuclear technology and science and, you know, how he feels guilty about that. However, he didn't really change that much as a person in the movie.
I feel like Oppenheimer is also, like, one of those people that, like, takes himself way too seriously. And I did feel like Killy did a very, very good job at that. Like, he knows he's the smartest man in the room at all times. And there's almost, like, a high that comes with it. So that cockiness, that like air of like cockiness, but also of like, oh fuck, what did I do? I thought that was really well balanced.
But yeah. So yeah, interesting category. You ready to go on?
Yeah, oh, I was.
Wait, you have another point.
So sorry. I will say real quick. So just my bet. I'm thinking Cillian Murphy is probably my pick, with Paul Giamatti being my close second. It's definitely gonna be one of the two of them, but I think just because of SAG, Cillian probably has a little bit of the edge right now. I would not be disappointed if it was Giamatti, though, because I don't think he's been nominated since Cinderella Man, and that's been years now.
Yeah, but he's been nominated, like, that and Sideways. I love and, Sideways. Like, I do, too. And this is the same director as Sideways.
So, if, in case you didn't realize while I'm reading a Best Picture nominee after all of our awards, is if you guys ever watch the Academy Awards, you'll notice in between, like, they'll every, like, two awards, they'll, like, talk to you about Best Picture nominee and show the clips. So that's what we're reminding you. So tugging along, we got
Killers. We can't show clips, unfortunately.
Yeah, no clips. We should do like video no clips, audio sorry. Or like songs. That'd be cool. We got Killers of the Flower Moon. It is nominated for 10 Academy Awards. So yeah, this is a Martin Scorsese movie. Once again, it has Leo DiCaprio, it has Lake Gladstone. It's about the Osage, Trial of Terror?
Nation.
Circle of Terror? Is that what they called it?
Oh, Osage Nation. I don't know. Osage Nation murders.
Yeah, the Osage Nation murders. So yeah, Killers of the Flower Moon, our third most nominated movie this year.
I like how you're going by how many nominations they are, though, in descending order.
Actually, it's weird. I don't have any rhyme or reason.
Okay.
I should. I was about to say, yeah, that makes sense, until I realized that The Holdovers was next on my list. And I was like, no, Barbie has more than The Holdovers, so.
Well, it's fine. Yeah. It'll be fine, ooh, either way. So. So now we have Best Actress in a Leading Role.
Yes.
Do you want to read those out, the nominees?
I would love to do it, because I just dream of one day doing this, so. And the nominees are Emma Stone as Bella Baxter in Poor Things, Carey Mulligan as Felicia Montego in Maestro, Sandra Hüller as Sandra Voiter in Anatomy of a Fall, Lily Gladstone as Molly Burkhart in Killers of the Flower Moon, and lastly, Annette Bening as Diana Nyad in Nyad.
What's your pick? Oh, I said, what's your pick?
Oh, what's my pick?
Like, what's your pick?
Just sorry,
we have a delay on our recording for some reason tonight. Which, so every time I talk, it takes 2 seconds for Brittany to hear me.
Which is why,
and I was like, we were dancing at each other.
If you guys think I'm just like interrupting Katie, I'm probably somewhat trying to be bitchy. It's more just like I can't hear her when she speaks. So
oh, no, it's
this
fine.
Is one of the absolute hardest categories to predict. It seems like it's really going to be a battle between Emma Stone and Lily Gladstone. This is hard. I'm personally going with Lily Gladstone, though, for Killers of the Flower Moon.
You don't think Sandra Hüller has a chance? I think she's my pick. Sandra Hüller is my pick.
Sandra Hüller is amazing. I think in a lesser year, she would have absolutely been the best actress. But I think right now, I think Lily and Emma are the ones that are getting more steam.
But Emma already has an Academy Award for fucking La La Land,
she does,
Land,
which is crazy. Yeah, no, absolutely I remember, which is crazy because she's definitely... Bella is definitely the more interesting role. I come down to the reason, so, and Emma Stone could probably take it, honestly, because I think the reason so many people love Poor Things is because of Emma Stone, because she has to embody that character. She has to believe in that character to try to sell us on the movie. And while I'm personally not sold on the movie, I can't in any way say that she did not give a fantastic lived-in performance, because she did. But Lily Gladstone gives this very, like, strong, heartbreaking performance. And I something for me, too, and Katie, you probably saw this. So in her high school yearbook, she was voted most likely to win the Academy Award when she was in high school. Mm-hmm. And I thought that would just be like a beautiful full circle moment for her too. And she would be
really like Lily Gladstone. I just don't. I said this when we talked about Killers of the Flower Moon. I'm surprised she's quote unquote in the leading category simply because they don't give her character a lot of time.
Yeah.
And that's the most detrimental part of the movie, is that it's about the bad guys and not the people that are actually being targeted. And it's not being told from the victim's perspective. Yeah. And she, it should have been told from her perspective. And they didn't do that. And I think it's, but however, I think she, as an actor, did a really good job portraying this person.
Yeah.
But I think Sandra Hohler did so much more work as an actor because she had the opportunity, because she was on screen most of the time. And I feel bad for Lily Gladstone, because I feel like, I hope this gets her to get juicier roles, mm-hmm. because I really think she's got a lot going for her as an actress. And I'm really happy she's nominated. But I'm also like, I didn't like Killers of the Flower Moon. Yeah. And that's not her fault. She did a good job. It's Martin Scorsese's fault.
Yeah. Yeah. And I do want to say, in my personal opinion, once again, film is subjective. I don't want to like cause a riot somewhere out there. But I think with Lily Gladstone and Killers of the Flower Moon and Carey Mulligan and Maestro, I think they were the beating hearts of that movie. And I think they were the redemption points of those movies. I think if it wasn't for those
actors. For Maestro? Yeah.
I think if it wasn't for those actresses, I wouldn't be half as interested in those films as I were. And Carey Mulligan, I mean, you want to talk about an actress that pretty much every role I've ever seen Carey Mulligan in, I love her. And I did cry watching the show just because of her.
Yeah. I will say Lily Gladstone got me to finish Killers of the Flower Moon, because I did actually care about her character.
And this is the thing. So last year we came very, very close. It was going to be a battle between Kate Blanchett and Tar and Michelle Yeoh and Everything Everywhere All at Once. And I feel like this is down to the wire. Me just looking at the Academy Awards. Like I said, guys, this is a subjective thing, but just kind of watching these trends and watching these award shows, I think it's going to be between Emma and Lily. And I think there's a small possibility that Lily may have pushed a little bit forward with SAG.
Well, didn't she get the SAG? Wins, yeah.
But once again, this is a great category. Katie is absolutely right. Sandra Hohler is phenomenal. And I'm ashamed to say I really didn't know her as an actress, but between The Zone of Interest and Anatomy of a Fall, she's obviously,
oh my God, yeah.
She's obviously absolutely amazing. Like, I can only hope and pray that I continue to see her in more things, because she is like, I mean, she does have that award-winning embodiment. Like, it's there. I don't know if it's there for this year's Oscars, but it's obviously
she's an
there.
Actor's actor. She's an actor's actor.
Yeah.
She is there to act the shit out of a role, and I think that's, it's just great to watch her work. I want Sandra Hohler to win. I haven't gone to see Poor Things, so I can't give you my opinion on Emma
and
Stone's
performance.
And I feel
that way about Annette Bening and Nyad, but we know Annette Bening is a great actress. I know it's controversial, but I still, to this day, even when I was a kid and I saw American Beauty, and at the end where she falls, she falls down holding those clothes in the closet, I still remember that moment so viscerally, even when I was a 10-year-old. So I'm like, yeah, Annette Bening's amazing. We know that, obviously. So
she's, someone let you see American Beauty at 10 years old?
Oh, yeah. 99 was a great year for film. Like, you know?
It was. I couldn't watch it, and so I just remember, like, seeing it in the newspaper and be like, what is this movie? And then I finally watched it in college and I was highly disappointed by it. I kind of was like, well, that was that. All right.
Yeah.
What the fuck is up with the plastic bag in the wind? That was too much. I was like, this is what people have been bragging about. Great performances. Just, it was oversold. I'm just going to say American Beauty was oversold. Yes.
But our next Academy Award nominated movie is The Holdovers. And The Holdovers is nominated with 5 Academy Awards. And I did want to say, so I looked up the tomato meters for all 10 Best Picture nominees. And The Holdovers is a 97%, which means it has the highest tomato rating. So critical acclaim, the highest rating out of all 10 nominees.
And honestly, it's worth it.
Yeah.
It's a very entertaining movie. It's a good watch. I watched it last week, 2 weekends ago, and honestly, like, it was a pleasant experience. I enjoyed, I laughed, I teared up a little bit, and, like, the characters all change in the story, and it was just great.
How about it's even a great movie. Dominic Sessa was amazing. That, like, the
is that the teenage kid?
Yeah, the teenager.
Yeah,
even he was.
Scott was like, he looks like he's 40. He's like, other than he does look he's older than his character. Oh yeah, age,
he's definitely not 17, but I thought like maybe early mid 20s.
Yeah, that whole movie was really good and interesting. And the fact that they filmed it and presented it like it was a movie in the 70s, I thought that was a nice little touch. It was like when I saw Grindhouse and it was like the feature presentation. I was like, oh, this is nice. But Scott was like, but they used good cameras, you can tell. I was like, it's not the point. It's putting us in a time and place of the movie. Shh. So, but he loved it. He really wanted to watch the holdovers. Okay, so are we moving on to the screenplays?
Yes, let's go.
Okay, so for best original screenplay, we have Anatomy of a Fall, written by Justine Triet and Arthur Harari. The Holdovers, written by David Hemmingson. Maestro, written by Bradley Cooper and Josh Singer. May-December, by Sammy Birch and Alex Mechanic. And Past Lives, by Celine Song. What are your picks, Britt?
Okay.
Or what is your pick?
Honestly, as much as I love Past Lives, and you all know I love Past Lives, and I think it's a phenomenal debut and a phenomenal screenplay, I love May December. I think this is going to go to Anatomy of a Fall. And I was telling Katie before we started recording, I was like, Sandra at one point is speaking in French, she's speaking in German, at another point she's speaking in English.
It's and
a
English.
Courtroom drama. There's all these different layers to the script. I just think it's probably the most complicated script, but it's still, like, beautifully done. So I'm going to say, for the complete technical expertise, my feelings aside, I think it's going to be Anatomy of a Fall.
I hope it's Anatomy of a Fall, although I would be so okay with Past Lives.
I wish.
But I think Anatomy of a Fall is just so impeccably written.
Yeah.
It's such a good script. And it's so interesting because it doesn't ever, like, tell you for sure if she's guilty or not. And I love that aspect. Because sometimes ambiguous endings, I don't like ambiguous endings, but I like endings that make you choose what the ending is. But they give you the possibilities. Like Parasite was like that, where it gives you probably what the real ending is, but it gives you an out if that's not the ending you like. You know?
Yeah.
This one, you know. But I liked Past Lives a lot. I think Past Lives was really beautifully written, mm-hmm. but I do think the dialogue was a little more sparse, too. So that might be a reason why I think more people would be Anatomy of a Fall. Anatomy of a Fall is a lot of talking.
Yeah.
So, and a lot of, like you said, in a lot of different languages. And there's courtroom talking and memory talking. That scene where the little boy, the son, is talking about what his father said, but it's his voice. Yes. In his father's mouth. I'm like, like, just the narrative structure of it is so well done. Yeah, it might be one of my favorite movies this year. I knew I was going to like it when I saw the poster. I was like, because I like true crime. No, I just knew. I don't know what I knew. I was just like, that movie just sounds like a movie I would love. Mm-hmm. And it was. And I really very much enjoyed it.
Now, I do have to say, I am disappointed that this was May December's only nominee.
I know. I thought at least supporting actor would get a nomination.
Charles Melton was honestly
he was so good.
Yeah,
he's so good. Really good. He is the Toni Collette of this year.
Yeah, I mean he's robbed. So good. I'm like, if he's this good in this movie, I thinking about that about Celine Song too. I'm like, if Charles Melton and Celine Song were both this good in like their debuts, like I could only hope they go up from here.
And I think Celine Song got robbed for Best Director.
Yeah, I do. Right. I do. Well, I think Greta Lee should have been a Best Actress.
I think, well, that too. I think, yeah, Greta, she was really good.
She was good.
It bothers me that she didn't get nominated.
I don't know if I just think she's so pretty or if it's like literally there's something about her that's almost ephemeral in Past Lives, but I just think she's so beautiful. Like, I can't take my eyes off of her in Past Lives.
She has an effortless beauty. Mm-hmm. Like, she put, like, the whole movie, she's like, she wears hardly any makeup and is just like, I just put on a button down and some, like, some wide leg pants. And if I did that, I'd look like trash.
Me too.
But she does it and she just looks like this, hi, I'm a playwright. And I'm just like, But she has no, like, bravado about it. Yeah. She's so good in that movie. It's a lovely movie. I do think Past Lives suffers from being a very personal, quiet story. Yeah. And I think that's because we had Oppenheimer and you know, all these, and Killers of the Flower Moon, all these historical dramas. And I think it kind of fell to the wayside. But, you know.
Yes.
What movie do we want to cover next in between the next category?
I'm so sorry. So let's go ahead. We got Anatomy of a Fall, which won both the Palme d'Or at Cannes, the highest award you can win, as well as the Palm Dog Award for Messy. It is nominated for 5 Academy Awards this year.
Yes. And we've already bragged about Anatomy of the Fall quite a lot. Mm-hmm. What's its tomato?
Yes. So it is tied. So it has a 96% along with Past Lives, who also has a 96%.
Well, hey.
But I did.
Apparently, I like the 96ers.
But also, I will say the Anatomy of a Fall audience score is higher than Past Lives audience score. The audience score is 90 versus Past Lives 84% audience score.
I would think a lot of, like, just people who like movies would enjoy Past Lives because it's, like, a very, like, universal story.
Yeah.
Whereas but, you know, people love true crime.
That's true, too.
People love true crime.
Yeah.
And, you know, I will say Anatomy of a Fall is a little more dynamic, yes. I guess.
Yeah. There's a lot more going on in Anatomy of a Fall, for sure.
Yes. So I guess that means we're at Best Adapted Screenplay.
Yes. So the nominees for Best Adapted Screenplay are The Zone of Interest, Jonathan Glazer, based on the novel by Martin Amis. Poor Things, Tony McNamara, based on the novel Poor Things, episodes from the early life of Archibald McCandless, MD, Scottish Public Health Officer. Oppenheimer, Christopher Nolan, based on the book American Prometheus, The Triumph and Tragedy of J. Robert Oppenheimer, by Kai Bird and Martin J. Sherman. Barbie, Noah Baumbach and Greta Gerwig, based on
Baumbach. I think it's Baumbach.
Baumbach. I would get more shit than John Travolta if I was pronouncing this and just butchered this poor man's name.
You know what? Yeah. He's Marriage Story. Just call him Marriage Story.
Squid in the Well, based on the characters created by Ruth Handler. And lastly, American Fiction, Cord Jefferson, based on the novel Erasure by Percival Everett.
Is it just me or is it weird that Barbie is a quote-unquote adapted screenplay because there's characters they're based on? I was like, what? How? Okay. I was like, all
Taylor
right.
Taylor called that years ago. Or not years ago. What the fuck, Brittany? Taylor called that months ago. Yeah. He said because they were trying to get Barbie into an original screenplay because they probably thought Barbie had a better chance to win an original. And Taylor's like, it's going to be adopted. They're based on characters. I was like, you're right, my friend. It will be adapted.
So weird. So weird. Mm-hmm. What do you think?
So this is honest to God, one of my hardest categories to predict.
This was the one that Women Talking won last year.
Yeah. Oh, I love Women Talking. I'm leaning towards American Fiction, and the only reason I'm leaning towards American Fiction is because, like, the way the book is kind of layered and the movie is layered, and I feel like that may up the ante for a little bit in terms of, like, it's adapting from a book that's, like, both a story as well as, like, the character, the writer's novel within the story. And you're kind of, doing that juggling act in the movie screenplay, too.
Yeah.
So I'm leaning towards American Fiction, but honest to God, I don't even know for sure if I would be right on that one.
I think screenplay is the one where someone can come out of the woodwork. Mm. That maybe isn't as popular. I mean, obviously, like, Oppenheimer's been touted pretty big. So, like, I wouldn't be surprised if Oppenheimer won. I would love The Zone of Interest to win. Yeah. Because, well, I haven't gotten to see American Fiction yet. So, I will hopefully see that this weekend. But I haven't gotten to grade, like, you know, how it's written. But I do like that The Zone of Interest is adapted from a novel, but it's also about real historical stuff, and it is incredibly demanding what they did. It was like a 10-year process. So I'm like, I feel like there was a lot of work put into that one.
Yeah.
But I also feel like it is sparse dialogue as well.
I feel the things, and I don't know how the Academy judges this, because as we know before, so it's the screenwriters that are voting for the screenwriters. So we really don't know what the screenwriters are looking for in their winners. But the one thing I do know from research, and I'm sure you came across this too. So The Zone of Interest is a very loose adaptation. And I feel with Poor Things that even though Poor Things is like more in line with the original novel than The Zone of Interest, the Poor Things movie adaptation is also different from the novel. So I don't know when compared to the source material how that works when they're different.
Yeah. Because there's also the whole point of like Greta Gerwig and Noah Baumbach are both Academy darlings. Everybody loves them. They've been nominated, you know, Marriage Story, Barbie, Little Women. Yes,
Lady Bird.
So many. Lady Bird. I love Lady Bird. You know, they've been nominated a lot. And I think a lot of people think that Greta got snubbed for director. So I could see Barbie winning because of that. But I'm curious how the writers vote. Yeah,
and I was about to say, and with Oppenheimer too, because the American Prometheus is, I think, actual biography of J. Robert Oppenheimer. Yeah. And with the movie, we're so focused on the Manhattan Project, and I understand why we're focused on the Manhattan Project.
Right.
But once again, what are we? We're getting a lot of Oppenheimer's life, but compared to the book, I don't know what we're getting. So I agree with you. I think if it's not American fiction, it's definitely going to be Barbie. And I think you may be right that Greta may inch ahead because of her snub.
Just because, yeah. I know everyone was pissed. And I mean, Barbie really happened because of her and Margot Robbie, and they both didn't get nominated in their respective categories. And it's a little...
Margot, I can maybe understand a little bit more, not because Margot's not talented. She definitely is. And obviously she's still nominated because she's a producer for the movie too. But with Barbie and her playing Barbie, it's like, you know, she's kind of like that, almost like you can imagine yourself almost in her position if you're following what I'm saying. But with Greta, it's like Greta helmed this huge movie that was just phenomenal. I mean, when we even look at the sets in the movie,
it made over $1 billion. Yes,
like it's like Greta is like Margot. It's like, I know Margot's phenomenal. I don't need an award to remind me of that. But Greta, it really does feel like a snub for Greta for me.
Oh yeah, especially because she's been nominated many times for director and not won. Well,
I had this argument with a friend of ours too, where I said, okay, so Greta was nominated for director for Lady Bird and Little Women, and yet she helmed a $1 billion movie and wasn't nominated. And I said, oh, why could that be? Oh, because directors nominate directors, and directing is a boys' club, and most boys do not like Barbie.
And I don't always like to say boys clubs. Well, I do when it's true. But, like, to be fair, I'm pretty sure both years Greta was nominated for Best Director was a year that every other director nominated was a man. And they already have Justine Triet for Anatomy of a Fall. Mm-hmm. So they're like, oh, we got our lady cap. Yet Martin Scorsese gets nominated for the worst film of his career.
I don't know. I'm still, in my opinion. Irishman, to me, was even harder.
I have not even let myself watch Irishman, but I heard some people enjoyed it. Yeah. I haven't heard anyone say anything good about The Killers of the Flower Moon.
And I hate to say that, because, you know, it's like, I don't want to sound like one of those people that's like, oh, man. But it's like,
No. I mean,
it's factual that most of the directing branch of the Academy are men. Like, I don't know the breakdown of it, but... I mean, we literally didn't even have our best female director till 2008 with The Hurt Locker.
Both Greta Gerwig and Celine Song got snubbed. It's not just Greta. Yeah. And it's just, and Greta Lee got scrubbed too. I don't want them to have gendered categories for director.
No, absolutely
not.
I
think that'd be stupid. But I do think... Yeah, I think you're right, because the directors vote for directors. Mm-hmm. I think it is hard to break the glass ceiling. And I think... But Greta has been tapping away. Greta Gerwig has been tapping away at that glass ceiling for such a long time. Yeah. And I really was like, how could they not nominate Barbie? Because look how successful this movie is. And it was, like, critically Like, people loved it. It was probably the most talked about movie, more than Oppenheimer. It was more talked about than any other movie this year because people did have opinions about it, whether they were good or bad. Yeah. And you don't have to love Barbie because maybe not everybody was a Barbie kid growing up. I was, so I, like, fucking bawled my eyes out over the whole movie. But, like Scott saw it and was like, I mean, that was fun. But he was like, obviously not made for me, but, like, it was a well-made movie.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't really, the only people who seemed to, like, not like it were, like, people who, like, went into the movie not wanting to like it or had very weird opinions about feminism, in my opinion. Those were the main feedbacks I have gotten. Or they're just, like, and it's not even, like, a hateful, I'm never gonna like it. But, you know, like, some movies, like, if I went to a Transformers movie, I wouldn't like that movie. And that's not the movie's fault. I just do not like those movies.
Yeah,
and sorry.
I think that's the beauty of film. And when we talk about, like, film being subjective, it's like, you know, the majority of people like Barbie. And then you're going to have, like, the few people who didn't like Barbie. And, like, it's obvious that a lot of people like Poor Things because Poor Things is the second most nominated film this year. It wasn't my favorite movie, and I honestly feel like the odd duck out every time I have a conversation about Poor Things. So, you know,
As soon as it comes on streaming, I'm going to watch it.
Yeah, you got to watch it. I need another woman in my life to watch it, because I keep having conversations with men that have seen it. So, I think the other reason that a lot of the general audiences like Barbie is because it was mostly comedic. There was a little bit of bittersweetness in there, but it was mostly comedic. And most people want to laugh when they see movies, or they want to feel good. And that's probably, on a different note, that's probably why we don't see a lot of people watch the Academy Awards, is because a lot of the movies nominated are kind of depressing, and people don't usually seek out depressing movies. The average person does.
It's true. I mean, it's true, but... Yeah. Yeah, Barbie was kind of a crowd pleaser and a well-made movie, so definitely a snub. What do we want to move on to next?
And I was about to say, speaking of Barbie, it's actually our next Best Picture talker. So Barbie has been nominated for 7 Academy Awards this year. So yeah, it's pretty, it's a solid middle ground, and it is actually, so on the Rotten Tomatoes, it is actually... 88 tomato meter and an 83 audience score. So in the 80s, not too bad. Most of the other movies are in the 90s, but hey, 80s is good.
There were a lot of conservative pundits who really hated the Barbie movie. So I think we could say some people hated it because they wanted to hate it. It's okay if you don't like the Barbie movie. Like, I'm not saying you're anti-feminist if you don't like it, but because obviously, like, not everyone loved it, but The loud voices I heard were, like, didn't like it for stupid reasons. And I was just like, all right. But it's art and it's subjective.
Yes.
Well, what's our next category?
Did you want to do best original score or best director?
Let's do best director.
Okay.
So for best director, we have Justine Triet for Anatomy of a Fall, Martin Scorsese for Killers of the Flower Moon, Christopher Nolan for Oppenheimer, Yorgos Lanthimos for Poor Things, and Jonathan Glazer for The Zone of Interest. I don't really know who's going to win it. I would love to see Justine Triet win it. I also have not seen Poor Things yet, but I do know that Yorgos has been nominated, and I don't believe he's won yet for director, and he's a fantastic director. One of our directors that we've done one of his movies here, Dogtooth, Scarred Me for Life. And The Zone of Interest, honestly, is one of the most technologically achieved, like, highest technological achievements in filmmaking, with the way they filmed it and the way it was directed. I can't even imagine. They were filming, like, 3 scenes at once, and that is so much choreography just going into that and dealing with such a tough subject. But I think probably it might be Christopher Nolan's year to finally win director.
I think it's going to...
Because he has been nominated. Yeah.
I think it's going to be Chris Nolan, absolutely. I actually saw a meme today that I thought was hilarious, where it was like, someone was like, Chris Nolan says he's interested in directing a horror film next. And someone was like, yeah, I'm afraid for his next movie, he's actually going to start summoning demons rather than just doing CGI. Because, you know, that's the big thing about Oppenheimer. Like, I mean, I think they legit created like a small bomb because it was like, no, we're not going to CGI this shit. We're going to like try to be as accurate as possible. Well, so, I mean,
it wasn't like a nuclear bomb, but they did create like a bomb, like a fake bomb.
Yeah, like, you know, like.
But he did build that whole turning, rotating building for like Inception and shit. Watching that is fantastic. Yeah. I was like, that is really cool that you actually got your actors to, like, do that. Like, that's so cool. Like, because he uses practical effects a lot.
He does. And, I mean, this was, like, you know, and even, like, the Oppenheimer cast won, like, the Best Ensemble at SAGs Awards. So he was, like, I mean, he was in charge of this huge cast, this huge set, this huge production. I mean, obviously it paid off. He's been nominated for 13 Academy Awards. And just because I was telling you guys about the Wikipedia accolades page, so, if you guys can imagine, it was, son of a bitch, I thought I wrote it down. It was like, Oppenheimer across the boards this award season has been nominated for over 400 awards. And I think it won something absolutely insane. Like, I think it's won over 180 of the, like, 400 awards it's been nominated for. So, I mean, yeah, this is... even if someone thought it was a little boring, there's no doubt that this was a huge movie.
I'm sorry. I just thought it was a little boring. Yeah. It was just very long.
No, it's okay. I mean,
and I
get it.
But I will say, compared to Maestro and Killers of the Flower Moon, way more entertaining.
Yeah.
Way more entertaining. It wasn't that it was boring. It was that it was a little monotonous and very long. But that's kind of like biopics.
Yeah.
Sometimes they just be like that.
Guys, it is streaming on Peacock, so by the time, like, you guys hear this episode next week, it's streaming on Peacock, so go watch it. But yeah, that's the one thing I keep saying, like, I liked the movie, but it was really the ending that stuck with me, like, the final moments of the film when he's talking to Albert Einstein. I'm just like, okay, like, it cemented to me that I did like the movie. But I'm not gonna lie and say there wasn't parts of it that were tedious, because it was. But that's also... As someone that has a hard time sticking for 3-hour movies, but I did it multiple times last year. Multiple times.
It was way better than trying. I had to watch Killers of the Flower Moon in 2 sittings.
Yep.
I could not get through that. That movie was too long. Oppenheimer, well made. And Christopher Nolan's a great director.
Is.
He's a great technical director. He's been working for a very long time. I'm surprised he hasn't won before.
Yeah.
So I'm expecting him to win. I would be surprised if he didn't win. The only person I would be mad about winning is Martin Scorsese, because this is his worst film.
Martin Scorsese this year is also the oldest nominated director at 81 years old. So, fun fact, we do also have over 9,000 voting members in the Academy. And I think that's why we also saw Spielberg nominated for The Fablemans. Not because The Fablemans was...
God, that annoyed me last year.
Not because, like, The Fablemans was a bad movie, but once again, these are living legends. They've been at the game for years and years and years, and even in their own categories, they have their fans that are probably always going to vote for them.
And I get that, but I'm like, they've already... Especially when they've already won, I'm like, don't take a spot from someone who's never won before. That's my opinion, but I'm not a member of the Academy. What do we want to do next? What do we want to do
next?
Well,
first we're going to say real quick, our next Best Picture nominee is Maestro. It is nominated for 7 Academy Awards and is available to watch on Netflix. So it's one of the more easy accessible Best Picture nominees this year.
It's a slog though, so you might have to watch it at 1.5 speed like I had to.
Yeah. That's I guess I'll be rewatching it with Taylor since he still hasn't watched it. Would you to do best score or international film?
We can do score. I had song. I was more prepared for song than score, but we can do score. So for best score, American Fiction by Laura Karpman. Easy name. Thank you, Laura. Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny. John Williams. This is another... I'm sorry. It's just because it's John Williams. I was like, why is this nominated? I was like, oh, it's John Williams. Love John Williams. Love you, John Williams. Killers of the Flower Moon. Robbie Robertson. I do believe this was his last film he worked on,
yes,
right?
It's a posthumous.
With Mars, because he passed away.
Yeah.
Oppenheimer, Ludwig, it's Göransson.
Because okay.
The O, the umlaut over the O means you say O, Göransson. Göransson? Göransson, I think. And then Poor Things, Jerskin Fendrix, which is a cool as fuck name. Never heard of Jerskin before. I don't know. I feel like it's probably going to be Oppenheimer or maybe Killers of the Flower Moon because it's a posthumous one. But
I like the music I heard from Killers of the Flower Moon, especially like when Ernest first arrives. And it's like that really cool, like Western kind of sounding theme. I like that.
Yeah, it's one of the better aspects of that movie.
Yeah. I too, though, think it's going to be Oppenheimer because specifically, without even listening to it, I can still hear the notes of Do You Hear the Music, which is when he's in school and you see like the raindrops and stuff. So I think there's something like very, not catchy because there's no lyrics, but there's something like I can still hear the Oppenheimer music in my head. So I know it must be good when I can hear it even when I'm not listening to it.
I guess, well, it's not original score, is it? It's just best score, right?
Yeah, best score. Yeah, I think it's technically called best original score, right? Or is it just called best score?
Well, I don't. No, it says original score. I was going to say, I think Maestro couldn't because they just used all of Leonard Bernstein's already existing music.
American Fiction did have a really, like, cool, like, kind of jazzy score. So its score was really nice, but I think and Poor Things, I want to say this is Jerskin's first ever movie he scored, if I'm not mistaken. I feel like I remember that.
I heard the dance scene had some cool music in it. Like, there was a lot of music in
it. If you listen, especially in the earlier halves of the movie, when Bella's kind of learning her world, there's like, it's like a plucking of a string, and it's almost like, to me, it sounds like if a toddler is playing with an instrument and it's like trying to figure it out, which is like perfect for her character development. And I think that he worked with Yorgos because it was like, I've never done this before, so we don't have to follow a set way. We can kind of find our own way on how to do it, which is really, really cool.
That's cool.
It's just not my favorite score, honestly, but I like the idea behind it.
That's interesting. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm not watching Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny.
I haven't watched it, so.
I love the first three Indiana Jones movies. Well, no, I like the first and the third one. I hate Temple of Doom. And even though
Kihei Kwan?
What the fuck
Ki-hei
is his Kwan? Last? Kwan, thank You're you. Welcome. I almost said Quinn. Oh my god. Even though he's in it as little boy, like, I hate that movie. But yeah, I think Oppenheimer or Killers of the Flower Moon are probably gonna win.
I'm gonna bet Oppenheimer. You know, I wouldn't be mad if Killers won, but I think it's gonna be Oppenheimer.
I think Robbie Robertson's done most of Martin Scorsese's movies throughout his career. And since he has passed away, I'm like, you know, I would be okay with that. Do you want to talk about song?
I mean, we can't. I know who I would pick for Best Original Song. And I do want to say, next movie we have for Best Picture, Past Lives, nominated for 2 Academy Awards, Best Picture and Best Original Screenplay.
And it's streaming on Prime. It's also pretty accessible now. It just took forever for it to finally get on there.
Yes.
But, like, the minute it came out, I was like, oh, yay, now I can watch it. So, Best Original Song. I actually made myself listen to all the Best Original Songs. So, that I hadn't listened to.
Yeah.
So, we've got The Fire Inside from Flamin' Hot, which was on Hulu, I believe. Music and Lyric by Diane Warren. I'm Just Ken from Barbie by Music and Lyrics by Mark Ronson and Andrew Wyatt. It Never Went Away from American Symphony. Music and Lyrics by John Batiste and Dan Wilson. Wazazi, A Song for My People from Killers of the Flower Moon. Music and Lyric by Scott George. And What Was I Made For from Barbie. Music and Lyrics by Billie Eilish and Phineas O'Connell. I can see It Never Went Away winning because it is an incredibly emotional song. It's actually a documentary about John Batiste writing his first symphony. He won Academy Awards for Soul. He's a pretty prominent American composer, but it was his first symphony and he was writing it. And his wife had cancer come back. She'd been in remission for years, I think since she was like pretty young. And so she had, she's going through cancer treatment, and it's following his wife going through cancer treatment, and he wrote the song for her, yeah. And it made me cry. But I was, it would be kind of fun if I'm Just Ken won, but, because it did win, was it the Golden Globes?
I think it was Golden Globe, yeah, yeah, I want to say you're right.
Yeah. But, because that face that Ryan Gosling made was hilarious. But I just want I'm Just Ken to be performed.
Yeah, and it is. And I am so excited. Yeah.
I'm very excited about that. I think Wazaze was the best part of the end of the film.
Yeah.
I believe that's the song. I was listening to it and I was like, I'm pretty sure that's the end of... I'm not going back to watch Killers of the Flower Moon. But it is like a traditional Native American song and chant. And it is... complicated and pretty, and it has a lot of different voices, and I'm curious to see how they perform that. What was I made for? I feel bad because I feel like that is such a really beautiful song, and it's really, the lyrics are so good and everything, and I really like that song, but I feel like no one cares because of I'm Just Ken. Poor Billie Eilish.
I actually think it is going to be What Was I Made For.
Really?
I really, really do. And
I love that song. It's a great song.
I think so. So I will say the main thing. So what was I made for? Like literally the first time we're all sitting there, we're watching the Barbie movie and she like closes her eyes and you hear. It's like, I didn't even know what the fucking song was. And I started tearing up. And by the time they played at the end of the movie with like the homage of like all the different casts and crews, mm-hmm. like mothers and wives and sisters and stuff. I'm sitting there fucking crying. But this move,
it's beautiful.
This song has also broke the Billboard Top 40. It's a TikTok trending song. So, I mean, it's a song that has gotten...
As I'm Just Ken.
Yeah, this song has gotten as an earworm. So, I usually that's a good sign. So when you have songs like, for example, When We Were Kids, My Heart Will Go On, that also became like a big radio hit. Once they become big radio hits, really helps them, I think, in their cases.
I will say The Fire Inside, I'm confused why it's not in for an Oscar, but it's a bop.
Yeah.
It is a bop. It is a fun song. So at least there's like more fun songs. Because this is bad, but like... You know, some years where, like, you've never heard of the movie that the song's from, and it's just, they just hired a bunch of really good choirs to just sing and clap, and I'm just kind of like, huh, it's a lot for a song from a movie no one will see. At least most of these movies I've seen or heard of. All of them I've seen or heard of.
I still, from last year, I still have Not To on my Apple Music, and I probably listen to it almost every other day. Not To. And that was an incredible performance, too, of that song. I loved it.
Which one was that? Which one was that?
It was from...
Not To.
Yeah, it was the best original song last year. It was from RRR. It was like the kind of like ball.
Oh, yeah. That song. That was a fun song.
Yeah, it was awesome. I love that song. Really fun song. So,
also, I'm sorry. I didn't want it to win because I thought it was a way too experimental of a song. But the fucking song from Everything Everywhere All at Once when they had hot dog fingers at the fucking Oscars. I was like, yes, hot dog fingers. Do it.
Yeah.
I fucking love that shit. It was great. It was fucking wild, which is what I hope I'm Just Ken will be.
Yes. I'm Just Ken. Yes.
It's like Encanto.
Oh. For We Don't Talk About Bruno. Yeah, that was good too.
Bruno. This is this year's We Don't Talk About Bruno.
Yeah. I'm Just Ken. I love it. But the Academy is a little bit more serious. Not all the times, but a lot of the times. They lean a little bit more towards the seriousness. So.
Well, do we want to talk about international or animated before we do Best Picture?
I guess let's go ahead and go into not international, which leads us to our final Best Picture nominee, which is The Zone of Interest. It is nominated for 5 Academy Awards, so including Best International Film.
Yes, you can buy it right now. I ended up buying it because I was fascinated by the camera work aspect because they have 10 cameras going on at once. It's not a happy watch, but it is a, I don't want to call it, it's a difficult watch, but it's very relevant to today, and it is about the compartmentalization of evil, and I think that is, it's a tough one. Do you want to read the international features?
So, we do have Lo Capitano, Perfect Days, Society of the Snow, The Teacher's Lounge, and The Zone of Interest.
I think it's either going to be The Zone of Interest or Society of the Snow, I think, right? Yeah,
I think it's definitely... So, I love Society of the Snow. Y'all know I love Society of the Snow. I found it a very effective film. I think it's going to be The Zone of Interest. I have always thought it was going to be The Zone of Interest because out of those five movies throughout the entirety of last year, it was the one I kept hearing the most about. And I feel like that's always a very good indicator. Now, I think what really could have upsetted this category is if instead of doing The Taste of Things, they had voted in Anatomy of a Fall. If they had voted in Anatomy of a Fall in, I think it would have been impossible to predict.
Well, she talked about politics at Cannes, mm-hmm. and now they're punishing her.
Yes.
Come on, France.
And they just shot themselves in the foot because they honestly could have had Best International Feature, but...
They could have. Yeah. France, you done fucked yourself. Which
I do want to say, I have heard nothing but phenomenal things about The Taste of Things, and I absolutely want to see it. I don't think it's a bad film.
I'm sure it's lovely.
I just think that Anatomy of the Fall of a Fall should have been their choice.
It won Cannes. It should have been.
Yeah.
They freaking nominated Titan, which didn't make it. Yeah. But I mean, Titan was weird as fuck. And this is Anatomy of Fall is a much easier sell to the Academy.
Now I will say, so I my full bets are on The Zone of Interest, but I love Society of Snow. I have not seen the other three, but I will say there has been a lot of talk about Perfect Days. A lot of people really love Perfect Days.
Yeah, it got shown, I think, in very limited theaters just this like last week in the US. So it's had one of those like slow coming over here, which I understand more when it's an international feature. When it's like when it's an American film and they're like, "Oh, we're going to wait until like 2 weeks before the Oscars, and then we're only gonna put in theaters." I'm like, really?
Oh, that reminds me, really? Katie, All the Strangers is on Hulu now.
Yay, I can watch my favorite guy.
And consistently, over and over again, people have said that they thought Andrew Scott was one of the snubs this year. And I'm like, I agree with that.
Andrew Scott is a snub every time he's not nominated for anything because he's phenomenal.
I just cried like 4 or 5 times watching him in that movie. It's fine, whatever.
Well, he is the hot priest in Fleabag. Completely wrecked me. Not just because he's hot, but that... Oh, my God. Oh, my God. It's just... heart-wrenching. Fleabag is such a good thing. I don't even know if it was him getting snubbed so much as they did not publicize that movie.
Yeah.
At all.
Yeah.
And that is their fault. But hopefully, maybe next year. Maybe he'll be in a different movie next year. Because I fucking love him so much. So are we ready for Best Picture?
We are. And here we go. So the nominees are for Best Picture, American Fiction.
Anatomy of a Fall.
Barbie.
The Holdovers.
Killers of the Flower Moon.
Maestro.
Oppenheimer.
Past Lives.
Poor Things.
The Zone of Interest.
And the Oscar goes to Oppenheimer.
I mean, probably. I want it to be... My first pick is Anatomy of a Fall. Yeah. My second pick is Past Lives. My realistic pick is Oppenheimer. Yeah,
I was about to say it. Well, you know, I think it could... The likelihood of it happening is like a dark horse event. Like I always think of Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse is a canon event. Not really. So, like, I'm always like, okay, Oppenheimer has the most nominations. It's 13 nominations. It's going to guarantee to go home probably with at least 4 or 5 awards across the board, if not more. But my thing is, so all 9,000 plus members of the Academy are eligible to vote for the Best Picture. I'm like, wouldn't it just be fucking hilarious if Barbie did win? Like, if it was, like, something like that.
I mean,
like, Barbie won absolutely nothing else except maybe Best Original Song, but then took home Best Picture.
It was the most influential film of 2023, in my opinion. I think Oppenheimer probably is the most, you know, technically, whatever, traditional movie that, whatever, the biggest one. But I do think Barbie is, like, it was a phenomenon. Yeah. Like, if the Zone of Interest won, I would be like, oh. But, I mean, I don't think it's going to win Best Picture. I think international feature, sure. But I think, yeah. Holdovers, the sad thing is, the Holdovers, I think the Holdovers are going to be this year's Banshees of Inisherin. Whereas, like, should have won stuff, but just it got nominated against everything everywhere all at once.
I think in a lesser year, and I hate to say it like that because every year has, like, good movies and bad movies, but, like, in a lesser year, the Holdovers could be the Best Picture winner because the Holdovers, the films are different, but the Holdovers has that same kind of, like, feeling that Coda almost makes you have, and Coda was our Best Picture winner a couple years ago. So, but I think, you know, Oppenheimer is one of those big blockbuster movies that also is just about, it's like serious enough for the Academy to like it, but it's also like, ooh, explosions. Ooh, cool score. Like, you know, like I think.
Yeah. But Christopher Nolan, is there Batman? No Batman. Sorry.
I think American Fiction is a great movie. It flew a little too under the radar. I think The Zone of Interest is a little too quiet. Poor Things has more than a couple very, it's not X-rated, but there's some hardcore sex scenes in that movie. And I just don't think that's going to be, like, for everyone, personally. It doesn't bother me, but it's also, like, I mean, I can see some people covering their eyes during Poor Things.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like all the con films that I got mad that weren't nominated for, like, Best Picture, it's because they had, like, hardcore sex stuff in it. Like, Piano Teacher. Yeah. Oh, my God. Like, whoo, a lot. Or Teton was like, she has sex with a car. We're not showing that.
I don't really know. I didn't time it, but there is a masturbation scene at the beginning of Poor Things, like, within the first 15, 20 minutes. So I was like, I think this is, like, a three-minute thing. I didn't time it, but it felt like 3 minutes. Like,
was it more than the Robert Pattinson one in The Lighthouse?
Was the masturbation scene longer?
Long or, like, more revealing?
You see pretty much all of Emma Stone, like, in the movie, like, but, you know, it doesn't shy away from male nudity, and then some of the sex scenes are for, like, more comedic effect. So, like, obviously her and Mark Ruffalo have a sex scene together, and it's very comedic.
Yeah.
It didn't bother me that there were sex scenes. That's a whole other subject. But
female masturbation on screen, at least, right? Are you saying female masturbation or male masturbation? Yeah. Well, you know. Now, were they only flaccid penises? No, like, the joke about television is, like, Game of Thrones, like, Butters on South Park when they're doing the Game of Thrones. I noticed there's always penises, but they're always limp penises.
And I always think about that with Theon Greyjoy's sex scene in, like, the second season. I always think about that when he's the sea wife, or what do they call him, where it's, like, the wives they keep on the boats. And she's like, I'll be your sea wife. And it's, like, he gets done, and he's completely flaccid. I'm like,
that's not how penises work.
I actually appreciate seeing male nudity. My whole life is, like, even when I was a kid, I constantly saw female nudity in movies. So now that it's becoming more and more common to see male nudity.
No, that's what I'm saying. I'm, like, positive that there's male nudity. But I was just curious if they can show an erect penis in Poor Things. Or if they were just like,
I thought it was really impressive. Spoiler alert, guys. I thought it was really impressive in May, December, we see an erect penis.
Oh, I guess we do.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe that was too scandalous. I don't know. Yeah.
No, it's fine. But it is funny because people just get very, like, they're like, oh, we can see, like, full vulva.
Yeah.
But, like, oh my God, a dick and balls? I'm like, I mean, they're just genitals. Genitals are genitals. They're probably fit. If not fake, but I mean, like, it's, you know, people usually aren't really having sex on screen.
Yeah, nudity never bothers me in a film, because it's pretty natural to be nude. But that's my one thing. I'm like, Poor Things, people obviously love it, but because of the subject matter of the film, I don't see it being our Best Picture winner. But it also is the second highest nominated film this year. I would be completely shocked if it wasn't Oppenheimer. I just would. I mean,
I would be too.
It'd be cool. It'd be cool to see any of the other movies, but I just
But remember, shocked. Remember when Moonlight won and everyone thought it was going to be La La Land, no. And then they actually said La La Land, and then so, they're like, oh, actually, it's Moonlight.
I do remember that because, like, before, because you, Katie's seen a few of the Academy Awards with me, so I was like, Moonlight, 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 and I was doing that. And then it said, and then, you know, they said La La Land, and Taylor's like, you already was going to know it was going to be La La Land. And I was like, no, I was like, Moonlight was the better movie, though. And so it when is. They came up and corrected it, I was like, I was floored.
I love watching clips of that.
I was completely floored. Because, yeah, I mean, literally.
They bring everybody up. He's like, oh, it's Moonlight. I'm like, good, because Moonlight is a much better film.
Moonlight is the better. Moonlight it's broke so my good. Heart. It broke my heart. It did. I loved it.
But it had a very, like, happy ending.
Yeah.
It really, did. Like, it broke my heart, but it made it whole again by the time I finished the film. And I felt so full after the movie. Yeah. Not that Oppenheimer did that for me, but, you know, you never know. We could have a weird, you know, heart warmer end up being, because Everything Everywhere All at Once won, and I was kind of like surprised. I was happily surprised, but it was more of like a crowd pleaser.
Yeah.
And I was kind of like, I mean, everyone agrees that Oppenheimer is a great film. I mean, it's a really well-made film. Objectively, it's a great film, but like, it's not really like a feel-good film.
But you know, and that's the thing we keep running in with Best Pictures is, like, they're either the crowd pleasers or it's, like, the just, like, epic movies. Like, it's always one or the other. And then every once in a while, you have a movie that's epic and a crowd pleaser, like Lord of the Rings, The Return of the King. That falls into both categories.
Was that but, what you we know, call like that Coda, a crowd pleaser?
It's, like, it's we definitely mean? A heartwarming movie. It's probably not our strongest Best Picture winner ever, but I love Coda. But, you know, that was a year that technically The Power of the Dog had more nominations. It was probably the more traditional Academy Award winning film, but Coda still just won. I think that's Troy Kotsur too, because Troy was on stage the other night fantastic. With Greta Lee, and he was signing. And what I forgot which nominee him and Greta Lee, or which award him and Greta Lee announced, but it was really, really sweet. I love seeing him.
Love him.
Again on stage.
He's such a sweet man. Yeah, mm-hmm. And that's a great movie. I mean, but Power of the Dog was also fantastic. So we could have a heart warmer, like a Holdovers, or even a Past Lives. But yeah. Or Barbie, I don't know. But yeah. I expect it to be Oppenheimer.
Me too.
But yeah, but I'm excited. I'm kind of excited. I'm sad I haven't gotten to see American Fiction or Poor Things yet. But I think I'll be able to watch both of them before the actual Academy Awards. So because I was really excited to see, especially Jeffrey Wright getting nominated for Best Actor, because he's, ever since I saw Angels in America in, like, college, the HBO series, I just fell in love with him as an actor. And so every time he's in anything, I'm like, yep, I'm going to be watching that because Jeffrey Wright is in it. That's why I started watching Westworld, to be honest. I was like, that looks kind of cool. And then I was like, oh, Jeffrey Wright's in it? I will definitely be watching it because he's just so good.
I was joking with Taylor last night, and I was like, I love him in Catching Fire. And Taylor goes, holy fuck, I really forgot he was in that movie. I was like, yeah, he's really in Catching
so
Fire.
Much shit.
Yeah.
And he is, like, a theater actor. He's an actor's actor. But I'm excited to see those two before. I wish I had gotten to see them before this one. Poor Things, like, they've been refusing to put it on streaming until, like, the week before the Oscars. Experience for American Fiction. But I knew The Zone of Interest was going to make me really sad, and it did. But it is really good, and it's a technical marvel, honestly, personally. Like, it's amazing what they did with it. But yeah, I don't know. I'm kind of excited for the Oscars this year. It's kind of a weird year, but I feel like the ones I really love are probably not going to be big winners.
That's me every year.
But, you know, as long as we don't have ones that I've already mentioned that I am disappointed in if they win, it'll be fine. We'll see. I might get super angry and just be like, you know, be like, it's all rigged. I hate it. We'll see.
I love it.
We'll see what happens.
That's what I love about having, like, people over is that I feel like we do a pretty good job of keeping things civil, but also just hearing, like, the kind of disagreements that we can have, because usually, like, there'll be, like, a chorus of unison, like, agreeing on one thing, but then, like, someone will be like, blah, 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 and it's like, what? So.
Well, and then you have, last year, Scott just kept picking Avatar the Way of the Water just because he was trying to be trolly. Yeah. He was just like, Avatar the Way of Water. I was like, don't you, because this was the first time he met Brittany. I was like, do not really say that, because Brittany will think that you like that movie. You haven't even seen it yet. And he was like, oh, it's funny. And I was just like, really funny, though. It made me laugh.
It's really funny. I learned a long time ago I was able to predict better if I took my own emotions out of it.
True.
Because it's like I said before, most of the times my favorite movies are definitely not the Best Picture winners. They get nominated, like,
yeah,
like the movies I can think of off the top of my head, with Harry Met Sally, Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind, Juno, Life of Pi. Like, you know, those are all nominated movies, but they're not the Best Picture winners, and I'm okay with that.
But a lot of screenwriting winners.
Yeah. Now, Slumdog Millionaire, when it came out 2008, was the Best Picture winner, and I love Slumdog Millionaire. So
it is a really good movie.
Mm-hmm.
Years later, because it, I don't know why, I just never watched it, and then it kind of was under my radar, and then I ended up watching, I think I ended up watching it and Trainspotting in the same day,
because the same director. Danny Boyle films, yeah.
I was like, vastly different films, very well-made films.
I loved it.
I love Danny Boyle. He's a great director.
When me and Taylor started dating, like, 11 years ago now, it's like, we didn't have money, and so, like, I just had a DVD collection. I was like, have you seen this movie? And he's like, no. I was like, we're watching it. And I could tell he really likes Slumdog Millionaire, because he still quotes it all these years later. And that's how I feel like you can tell, like, something affected somebody, is when they quote it, like, years later. So, yeah.
Well, it's a good speaking one. It's of a good quotable one, so. Movies, I still quote Birdemic on a weekly basis. Oh, so.
Which leads us into what's
next week.
Yeah.
Moody movie of next week. Moody Misery, which will be Birdemic, which I personally own on DVD, which I'm very excited to watch. But if you don't happen to own Birdemic Shock and Terror, not the sequels, Birdemic Shock and Terror from 2010, it is available on Tubi, Peacock, Pluto, Plex, and apparently Amazon Prime Video and Freevee. So, like, there are many ways to watch it. I'm very excited to rewatch this terrible movie. It is a so bad it's good movie, and I'm very excited. Ryan, you picked a great one, honestly. So excited. Brittany, have you watched it yet?
Not yet. I was getting for American Fiction.
I kind of want to see you watch it, but then I'm also like, but I also want to be surprised what you, but I love watching other people experience it for the first time.
Yeah.
But I don't know if our schedules are going to line up. Because, like, but I love watching people watch Birdemic for the first time, because it is one of my favorite things to pull it out and be like, have you seen Birdemic? But I guess with that, I need to go get some rest, so I am better by the time we have Oscars.
Yay!
And I apologize. Originally, we were going to try to do something more fancy for the Oscars, and then my illness just has, the medicine I was on to fix my illness made me sicker than my illness did. And today's the first day I haven't been taking that medicine. So I'm still not back 100%. So Brittany, like, looked real cute. And I was like, oh yeah, we were going to do that, weren't we?
And, it's okay.
You know, so maybe for Birdemic. I don't know.
You always look better than I do every other time.
That's not true.
It is true. It is so true. But that's okay.
This is... My lymph nodes are swollen and I have no makeup on, so I'm so pissed right now.
It's okay. Disgusting. Pell girls for the win, so.
Yes, it's gonna be fine. It's gonna be fine.
Yeah, it will be.
But yeah, it's all good. But yes, but we'll see y'all for Birdemic. And I don't know, tell us what your predictions are for the Oscars. I'm trying to compile the list of where you can stream the ones that are streamable, or, like, where you can watch them, like I did last year. So I'll be posting that as I can. So I started doing that, like, today. So hopefully that will... Actually, I started a couple weeks ago, but I'll be posting that, too. So if you guys You should be able to check out our Instagram to see that list. When this episode airs, so it should be out there beforehand. But with that, good night. I hope y'all are feeling better. Take care of yourself. Take some vitamins, because I'm pretty good at washing my hands, but my sinuses have just erupted into like the worst sinus infection I've had in a really long time, and it has been miserable. So I hope y'all stay well. Also be careful. Not only did I get into a car wreck and someone also hit Scott's car, although we're both physically okay, there were like, I've seen 3 wrecks in front of me. There was one in week.
Yeah. Spay and neuter your pets. If you're an Alabamian, yes, like we are, follow Alabama Spay and Neuter on like Instagram, mm-hmm, because they actually like have a transport bus that will like help, mm-hmm, you spay and neuter your babies. So
sometimes check for that free.
Out. Yeah, so check that out if you guys need to spay and neuter your babies or you need extra resources. They're a great place to help out with that. Yeah, you know, it is a trying time. I am very, very glad. It used to be fall was my favorite holiday, and then winter was like my second because I like playing in the snow. But now, like, I really love spring because it's feeling like, mm-hmm, a new beginning. Fall's still my favorite, but that's like true. Seeing the flowers starting to bloom now and seeing the trees, mm-hmm, starting to bloom and feeling like the days are gonna get longer, it feels like having more sunshine is gonna like boost that serotonin that I feel like, yes, we all need right now. So I'm really, yes, looking forward to that. Yes. So yeah, guys, just hang on a little bit longer. We're going to get some more sunshine. Drink your water. Take a shower. When all else fails, drink water, take a shower, or take a nap. Those, one of those three will usually help you. And we love you guys. Happy Oscars week. Mm-hmm. And we look forward to seeing you next time. Same spoop time, same spoop channel.
Stay spoopy, y'all.
Bye. Bye. Bye, Katie. Hope you feel better.
You too. Bye. Well, you're feeling better, but
aww, bye. Bye.
Grindhouse Girls Podcast is a production by Katie Dale and Britt Ray. Our editor is N.R. Moody. All music used is royalty-free and can be found in our annotations. You can follow us on all of our socials. And if you have any comments, questions, or just want to say hey, our email is contactus@grindhousegirlspod.com. Thanks for listening.